morning. God has spoken to us. Isn't that beautiful? Yes. So we have multiple blessings. So another blessing is August 14th. Please write it down. August 14th is a Sunday. So the church service will be at 10:30 a.m. in our new church building in the ground floor. Okay? Yeah? So we are having one service there. And additional blessing is you have to get your own food and share it with me. So it's going to also be a potluck lunch. Somebody will coordinate it. So please write it down. August 14th, 10:30 a.m. We are going to meet in our new church building for one service, followed by potluck. You will get your own pots, right? And we will have lunch there. Is that good? Yes. Is that a blessing? Is it a blessing to hear it? Okay, so let's turn to John chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. John chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, and he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Verse 10. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And in verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word that we heard just now, and we pray you would speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I was thinking about the subject of the love of God, and I was thinking about this fact that only the Christian faith reveals God as a God of love. In Islam, Allah is known as Almighty, or he is known as the Merciful. In Hinduism, you have God who is Creator, then there is a God who is Sustainer, then there is a God who is Destroyer, as one of the manifestations of God. But only in the Christian faith is God communicated as a God of love. So in 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. That is his nature. He is love. That is his being. And in verse 10 and 11 of 1 John 4, it says, he first loved us. He is the first cause of love. He is the first cause of love. Now, what did he do because he loved us? There was a manifestation of that love. And so in John 3, 16 to 18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting love. That is how he loved us. He showed us his love. Then the issue is, when did God love us? Did he love me today? Did he love me? The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 10, for when we were yet sinners, when we were ungodly, when we were enemies, maybe for an innocent man, somebody would die. Maybe for a good man, somebody would even dare to die. But God sent his love for us that when we were, what? Yet sinners, we were enemies, we were ungodly. He loved us. That is when. And when you read the Bible, it says in Ephesians 1:4 that he chose us in him before the foundations of the world. That's where his love began, right? We were in the mind of God before the foundations of the world. Now we see here that God is love, and when we see here that when Jesus was on the earth, he dealt with two things which came across to me. One was he dealt with moral situations. He dealt with issues of sin. And then he dealt with other situations where he revealed his omnipotence. So in situations he revealed his omnipotence, and in moral situations he revealed his love. So in John chapter 4 verse 10, he told a woman, if you knew the water I could give you. And what was he trying to tell the woman? My love for you is greater than your five husbands plus the one you are living with. In John chapter 5 verse 14, when he healed the person who was 38 years a paralytic, he says, my love for you is greater than your sin. In John 6:29, when he multiplied the five loaves and two fish, he said, this is the work of God that you, what? Believe in him. The omnipotence was for him, for them to believe in him as the Savior. In John 8:11, when the adulterous woman came, he says, neither do I. My love for you is greater than your adultery. In John 9:3, who sinned? This man sinned or did his father sin? No, that he was born blind. No, this was done so that the works of God should be revealed in him. God's love was greater than physical disability. In John 11:4, Lazarus is sick for the glory of God. His love was greater than even what? Death. Right? In Luke 19:1-10, God's love was greater than Zacchaeus' extortion. Right? He said, he was greater than the Sabbath. In Mark chapter 4, the last few verses, they were fear of him. Who is this who walks on the water and the winds and the sea? Obey him. Isn't that? Because he loved, he showed his omnipotence that they might believe in him. Now, it's a very interesting, in Matthew 27, there's an interesting situation where Pilate is saying, whom do you want me to release to you? Correct? Jesus or Barabbas? The crowd said what? Barabbas. That was in the courtroom of man. But unknown to Pilate, what was happening in the courtroom of man was also happening in the courtroom of God. Acts 2:23 says, him being delivered by the predeterminate counsel of God, you have taken and crucified with wicked hands. And there is a place where God showed the extent of his love. And what is the extent of his love? Right? When my daughter was very small, I used to ask her two questions. Do you love me? She would say yes. I would say, how much? And she understood what's a birthday cake. So one cake, five. So for her, five was a big number that time. Five birthday cakes. Okay. We can also ask God, how much do you love me? Right? What is the extent? And the extent is this. Arms on the cross. Which means when Jesus died on the cross, he paid for all our sins, past, present and future. In Hebrews chapter 7, the last few verses, in Hebrews 9, the last few verses, it says, otherwise Jesus would have to often offer sacrifices as the priest. He has to suffer often. But he did it what? Once and for all. So can you imagine today, you're living, today is 31st, right? Jesus has paid your future sins in advance. Isn't that unique? And he's paid it what? Once and for all. This is judicial forgiveness. When you accept Jesus as your Savior, in Colossians 1:13 and 14, you're translated from darkness to the kingdom of his Son, once and for all, and you cannot be undone. It's judicial forgiveness. Now, once we are judicially forgiven, God gets us into his family. And then we are what? We have a family relationship. Today, you and I, we are sons and daughters. Now, this is what happens. The prodigal son, Luke 15, went. He realized his sin. Correct? And he thought, I am no more what? Worthy to be called his son. I'll become his servant. So he comes to the father and he says, I am no more worthy. And the father put the robe, the ring and the sandals and, let's party. Why? This is the principle. In life, no matter what works we do, that works cannot give us judicial forgiveness. Are we understanding? That forgiveness can only be given through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross once and for all. Right? And that forgiveness is as solid as Mount Everest. Once you believe, it is yours. Nobody can break it. Nobody can undo your position. But in the filial forgiveness, when we sin, what happens? Fellowship gets what? Broken. But this is important, and I want us to really understand this principle this morning. And this is really important, really very important. That once you become a son and a daughter of God, no matter what sin you do, you can never depreciate your position before the Father. Your value to the Father is, you're my son and you're my daughter. And you may rationalize it and say, no, I'm not worthy. I've done this wrong to you. And God will say, no, you are worthy because I love you. Right? And because you are my blood-bought son, and that is your value before me. So in closing today, it's very important for us to understand today that this is the love of God. Right? And like Pastor Toll said, when we get saved, after we get saved, we are not paying God back for our salvation. We are not doing things to maintain our salvation, or we are not doing things to prove our salvation, because it's by grace. I want to add one more point. And the fourth point is, you cannot do anything to disprove your salvation, because God will say that what? You are my son. So the elder son in Luke 15 was trying to maintain his salvation, maintain his relationship with the Father, and merit something from the Father, not understanding that it is all by what? Grace. Isn't that beautiful? And that is the love. So I want to encourage each one of us, no matter where we are with God today, we are just a decision away to be restored back, right? And you may think, oh, this is what I've done, and I'm not worthy. And God says what? You are worthy. You are my son. You come back. And we are restored. And like Chris said, it's the blessedness is in the restoration. So communion with God is like a silken thread. Sin can easily break it. But when we come back, right? When we come back, God says, I love you. Unconditionally, just the way you are. Isn't that beautiful? So God loves us today. Whether we come to church or not, whether we obey God or not, whether we do the things or not, God loves us unconditionally. What we do for Him cannot increase His love, and what we don't do for Him cannot decrease His love. This is not something we rationalize. This is something which the Bible declares, and this is what we believe. And Jesus says, this is the work of God, that you believe in Him He has sent. Amen.